as I was mentioning earlier, this past Sunday night, a historic synagogue in Odessa in Ukraine was seriously damaged in a Russian drone strike. The Nationalist Eliza Synagogue, built in the late 1800s and once the only active shul during the Soviet era, was hit by an Iranian-made Russian suicide drone, setting the building alight and destroying large parts of its structure. In a war already marked by human suffering, this attack has dealt a heavy blow to Jewish heritage in Ukraine. And we're joined now by Rabbi Ariel Markovich, who is the rabbi of the Chabad Young Professionals community in Kiev. His father is Rabbi Yonatan Markovich, the chief rabbi of Kiev and the rabbi of the Ukrainian prison services. And in addition to his work with young professionals, Rabbi Ariel Markovich oversees rabbinical activities in prisons across Ukraine and manages various projects within the Kiev rabbinate. Rabbi, it's a pleasure to chat with you, and thank you so much for making time for us. Can you give us some background? What kind of place was the Nachlis Eliza Synagogue, and why was it so significant to Jews in Odessa and across Ukraine?
Thank you very much. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here. This synagogue, actually, it's very important for us. It was built in 1890, a long time ago, and a lot of Jews used to pray there. Unfortunately, in the 1920s, the Soviet regime closed it. Since then, we couldn't pray there. We couldn't use the synagogue. So now it doesn't work. But of course, it's very important for us. On Sunday at night, between Sunday and Monday, a drone hit the synagogue. As I mentioned before, no one was there because now it doesn't function. But the building itself. It got damaged, and it's a horrible situation. We can see in Odessa, in different cities, also in Kiev, that there are so many missiles, and actually it's very hard. But of course, we can thank Rabbi Goldstein and the community in South Africa. They help us a lot since the beginning of the war, but As we see it now, also the situation in Ukraine actually became worse and worse.
Rabbi, what do we know about the extent of the damage on the synagogue? How bad is the damage?
Mostly from outside, but also from inside. The building itself is standing. It's possible to renovate it, but. But it's a synagogue. It's a historical building, and it's a shame that this war actually take place after almost 4 years. It's 3.5 years. So many people got killed, and also building like religious places also get damaged.
Do you think that this was a targeted attack on a synagogue, or do you think it was just a broader indiscriminate strike?
I have no idea. I really hope that it was a mistake, but also it must stop. A few months ago, a rocket actually fell on my parents' school, Perlina School in Kiev, the school where I went to, my daughter's goes to. So the places, when it comes to, of course, every place in Ukraine, in every country, but when it comes also specifically to religious places, to kindergarten, it's horrible. And thanks God, no one was there, no one hurt.
Rabbi, you said that the situation is becoming worse and worse. You know, unfortunately, because the Russia-Ukraine war is not in the headlines now all the time, 3.5 years later, we don't know and we don't read so much and we don't see so much about what's happening on the ground. What is happening on the ground?
Let me tell you just what happened with me just a few days ago. I went to a bomb shelter. They told us, the government told us in advance that this night, I mean, it was a few days ago, this night it will be a big attack. So I went to the bomb shelter, because sometimes I go to sleep at home, but then in the middle of the night, we must go to a bomb shelter. Just for you to understand, in most of the buildings in Ukraine, there is no bomb shelters. There is nothing like that. Most of the people who actually goes, they go to a subway station, metro. It's safe, or to a parking lot. Baruch Hashem, in our synagogue, we have a bomb shelter. It's an old building, and we have the bomb shelter. So I went to sleep there. From the evening until the morning, I just heard bombs. It didn't stop. It didn't stop the entire night. And so over there, I can see it. I feel it. And also in the day, people, after they didn't sleep for the night, and you can guess it. It's not so a nice situation. As a community, we can say that less people are coming to the events, less people are coming to the prayers, because it's very hard to come. It's very hard to go outside the house after a night like that. So we send a lot of the doctors to houses. We send a lot of food to houses. So it's very hard.
Rabbi, how has it affected the Jewish community, this war? Have a lot of Jews left Ukraine? Is there still a big community in Ukraine?
There is a big community in Ukraine. A lot of people left, a lot of Ukrainians left, and also a lot of Jews left. But still, there are a lot of Jews in Ukraine. The biggest community is in Kiev. There are 5,000 Jews in Kiev. And all over Ukraine, of course, it's affected. Because after, first of all, now we need to give, or we give, much more humanitarian aid as it used to be. Because right now, the people doesn't have money. So first of all, we need to give a lot of humanitarian aid. Second of all, we have ambulance and a lot of doctors from the community goes to houses, because after a night of bombing, even if it didn't fall in the building where someone lives, but not far away, it's very hard for him. And especially if it's elderly people, it's very hard for them. So for now, of course, it's affected. And most of our work now, it's humanitarian aid that we give, or actually we hope to give. We give whatever we can.
Rabbi, what's your feeling? Is this war going to end anytime soon? And what needs to happen for this war to end?
I am not a military man. I really hope that it will finish even now, as soon as possible, because it's impossible for us. The only thing we can do is just to pray and to help our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. This is only we can do as a religious community.
Rabbi, you mentioned at the beginning of the interview that the South African Jewish community helped. How did the community help, and how can we help now?
The community helped us very much through Rabbi Goldstein and Rabbi Eitan Ash. They raised money in South Africa, and they send it to us. With this money, we can feed a lot of people. We have a lot of elderly people. We give a lot of food packaging. Just to understand, the pension in Ukraine, it's $60. It's nothing. We give a lot of food, also hot meals. Someone just came to me a few months ago and he asked me if he can enter, just a regular guy on the street, if he can enter the synagogue just to eat something. I told him, of course he can come. So he told me, you know, I get pension once a month, but I need to eat every day. And your meal actually saved me. It's a horrible stories, but we must help everyone. And through the help of the South African community, we could help. We helped thousands of people in Kyiv.
Rabbi, thank you so much for chatting with us. So many of us in South Africa have roots in the Ukraine, and it's really upsetting and distressing to hear that the war is, as you say, getting worse and worse, and we might not see it in the headlines. But from what you've described, the situation on the ground is unbearable. That is Rabbi Ariel Markovich, the rabbi of the Chabad Young Professionals community in Kyiv, bringing us up to date on an attack which we don't know if it was intended to hit a synagogue or not, but in which a Russian drone strike hit a synagogue was built in the late 1800s and the only act of shul during the Soviet era.